It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
So former Bronco Aqib Talib was talking to MMQB.com, Monday Morning Quarterback.
Who runs that now?
Great question.
King has moved on.
He's moved on. I think it's just the other guys from Sports Illustrated, Albert Breer, along with, trying to think of who else there is over at Sports Illustrated.
Is that your guy?
Robert Klemko. That's another one who has really done a great job catching real traction here in the last year and a half or so.
Klemko, he's from around here. We saw him at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
Along with your good friend, Albert.
Yes, my good friend, Albert Breer, which we will not reset to today.
Not today. Maybe on the year anniversary of the Senior Bowl.
Maybe so. But Aqib Talib was talking to the MMQB, and he was asked, you know, what has happened in Denver? And, the paragraph says, as for Denver, the veteran of four NFL teams has one parting recommendation to management, and the NFL veteran being Aqib. He says, quote, maybe they should stop firing all the dogs, Talib said. That team was full of dogs, and now they're all gone. So stop firing all the dogs.
Wow.
End quote.
See, this is the first time I've seen this. Wow. Well, what he's referring to is, of course, T.J. Ward is one of them. Malik Jackson. But you look at Malik, I mean, they didn't fire Malik.
Yeah.
You know, they just couldn't resign him. I mean, sometimes you just can't resign guys, and you know that if you're an NFL player. Like, it gets to a point where, you know, these guys become really good players. You can't keep everybody. Who else could he be referring to?
Danny Trevathan?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think TJ is a big one because they did fire him.
Correct.
You know, during training camp.
Correct.
So, but that's who TJ was. You know, he was that guy that wasn't backing down, and he was like a big part of that defense and their mentality of we're not taking anything from anybody. And Malik Jackson obviously was one of those guys, and sometimes they crossed the line and got you a penalty that you hated. But at the same time, great defenses need those types of guys, those intimidators. Who is that now?
That's a good, simple question.
I mean, only one comes to mind.
In the secondary or on the defense as a whole?
The defense.
I mean, Von Miller. And I'm assuming you're not...
Is he one of those dogs? Is he an intimidator? I mean, obviously he's a...
Wolf?
Yeah. That's the only one that I can really come... I mean, Von, you know, great player. But when you look at nasty, is Von nasty? No, Von's not nasty.
Von's
not nasty. Like, if you want, and that's what Talib's talking about, is you know, when you say it like he's saying it, you know, stop firing all the dogs, I mean, that's, you know, some nasty in you. You know, sometimes you cross that line.
So who is, like, conclusively an intimidating player? Who's the most likely to, and not that you... Not that you hang your hat on this, but who's most likely to get a 15-yard penalty for knocking your block off and making you think about even tiptoeing around his space the next time?
It would be Derek Wolfe. That would be the only guy I could think of, really, that has that in him. And look, like you said, I don't want guys to get a 15. Like, Malik would drive me nuts because it was like every other game he was just doing stupid things. Like, what are you doing? Stop doing that. But when you lose them, you lose a little bit of that edge.
Yeah.
Right? That's what made them so good, is you never knew who it was coming from. You know, is it coming from TJ? Is it coming from Talib? Is it coming from Malik Jackson? Somebody's going to knock your head off if you're not on a swivel.
Right.
And as opposing offenses, you start thinking about that. Like, oh my gosh, I better keep my head on a swivel here because they're coming. And you know what? They're not following the rules like most teams are doing in today's NFL. They will go that extra mile. And they have lost a lot of that. But I'm not going to put all that on the Broncos front office or the Broncos management like Tlaib kind of said. Because that's just part of the NFL. You know, Trevathan, you just can't pay all these guys.
Yeah.
At some point, you just become too good. You got to see guys go, and you got to try to get a younger, cheaper guy. And hopefully you keep that mentality. And hopefully, you know, you keep that mindset. And hopefully that's been passed on. And it is a hard thing to do when you start losing pieces and you start losing a lot of these guys that bring that kind of mindset every single week and every single year. You know, you look at some of these defenses that have been able to sustain, for the most part, that kind of mindset and that kind of physical play. And one that comes to a couple, you know, you look at the Steelers. They've been really good on defense for a long time. They just play hard, nose football. You look at the Ravens. Mm. They you know, they have been like that since I was there. And they continue to be like that.
That's the culture.
That's the culture, right. Look. We're coming, and it's a fist fight, a flat-out brawl. And that's kind of passed on from their head coach or defensive coordinator, and that's the standard. And it's been passed on from Ray Lewis, Terrell, you know, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, and those players. But like Tlaib is saying when he says, you know, when he was talking about the Broncos, maybe they should stop firing all the dogs. The team was full of dogs, and now they're all gone. Stop firing all the dogs. And you know, who is it? Who's going to keep that trend going? Who's going to be the one to take over and to keep it going for the next group of guys?
Was Wade Phillips the dog?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was the architect of it.
Right.
So, absolutely.
Did he?
And you know, he's the one. You know, your coaches are the guys that install what you're going to do. Like, hey, I see you right there, Malik. And, you know, I don't like it. I don't want you to do it. But, hey, it's okay. Kind of thing, right? So, you know, you saw Seattle Seahawks and their offensive line under Tom Cable. You better, as a defensive player, not be standing around a pile because they were coming to clean your clock. They were coming to clean up piles. That was their mindset in Seattle under Tom Cable. Now, it has since gone away, but that's how they played. So, your coach is a big part of that, obviously. So, Wade Phillips, yes.
Well, there's another team that in a roundabout way has sort of mirrored what the Broncos are going through on the defensive side of the ball, and I'll tell you exactly who it is and why a recent quote would suggest exactly what Tlaib just said, and I'll explain everything next. So we were just having an incredible conversation about really piggybacking off the comments from Aqib Tlaib speaking to MMQB.com when, you know, asked about what went awry in Denver. He said, quote, maybe they should stop firing all the dogs, Tlaib said. That team was full of dogs and now they're all gone. So stop firing all the dogs. Well, you were going through other defenses. You talked about the Ravens and the Steelers. There's another defense out there that was in the same championship window as the Broncos defense, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. And you touched on that on them in passing, but Richard Sherman, who is now on the 49ers, talked about the Seahawks in sort of the same type of tone that Aqib Tlaib talked about the Broncos. Richard Sherman said, quote, they've just lost their way. When you make too many mistakes over a long period of time, you kind of dig yourself a hole, end quote. And I feel like the same could be applied to the Broncos. You know, despite me having higher expectations for the Broncos this year than, say, the Seahawks, who we're going to see week one here, the Broncos have made a collection of mistakes over an extended period of time, which in a roundabout way leads you to the 5-11 season of this past year.
Well, we'll see how this defense looks this year. I look at Seattle and their situation. I think it was a little bit differently. I think, you know, when you look at some of the re-signings that they did and you look at some of the other situations that happened, you know, Richard Sherman tore his Achilles, so he's no longer there. And you look at Cam Chancellor, who unfortunately has this bad neck injury, so he's probably going to be retiring. And we'll never play football again. And so you look at some of these pieces, and then you look at a guy like Michael Bennett, who, you know, it was just time for him to go. And you look at Cliff Averill, who I think had a neck injury also. And so you look at some of these circumstances was, you know, just football and just unfortunate for their team. And you look at some other ones where maybe they, whether they paid a guy too much, they committed too much to him, or what happened there. It just has all fallen by the wayside there in Seattle. I look at this Broncos situation, I think it's more sustainable. Because you look at what they have moving forward, you don't see them committed to a lot of these players long term. And so they'll be able to turn over the roster a little bit while still keeping the core here. When you look at a Von Miller, a Chris Harris, and maybe now you got a Bradley Roby, Derek Wolfe, and you still got some young pieces behind those guys to possibly take over. Secondary-wise, safety-wise, Suha Cravens, Justin Simmons, and you know some of these younger safeties that they really liked, Jamal Carter. So the torch can be passed there. I can see how we can move on from some of these veteran guys when it's time to see them go. And a lot of teams struggle in that area. They were always really good at doing that in Baltimore. Always had another guy waiting for that torch to be passed. And I think they're in a good situation here in Denver. Seattle, obviously, a lot happened all at once in the last year. And it makes it tough to rebound from that. But here in Denver, you know, you've seen DeMarcus gone. You've seen Malik gone. Danny Trevathan. And it's still been a good defense because it hasn't all happened at once. And they've done a good job of drafting some guys and putting them in there. And so they've had more depth there. And so that's why I look at this defense a little bit differently than Seattle's.
When we talk about this defense and the old, and again, this is in relationship to the Aqib Talib quote that the Broncos should stop firing all their dogs. John Elway described it as kicking and screaming once upon a time. When we talk about dogs and kickers and screamers, is Darian Stewart a dog?
Yeah, he is. Didn't mention him earlier. I said Derek Wolfe, but yeah, Darian Stewart is. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you saw some of those hits a couple years ago. I mean, he brings it. So, yes, he is one of those guys. So they got a couple left that...
Is there someone else? Is there someone else on that defense that could potentially be a dog?
I mean, they got some really good players, but what I'm talking about... What Talib is talking about is that guy that's going to cross the line sometimes and going to take that shot and...
Nasty.
And just nasty. And that's what he's referring to. And so... I don't know. You got anybody else in mind that could be that type of guy?
I would like to say Suha Cravens. I would like to say, because I know how physical that he wants
like
to play
one.
When he can get down in the box. That's sort of the scouting report on him. He's that hybrid guy. I hope that his mental makeup matches the physical tool set. That's
we'll
my
see.
One question.
Yeah, we'll see. That's a good one. And hopefully he is and will be that type of guy. Because if you're asked to play that hybrid linebacker safety role, you need to have a little bit of nasty in you. Because you got to be tough enough and nasty enough to take on fullbacks, take on offensive linemen and bigger guys than you and be able to stuff the running backs. And you also got to be obviously quick enough and fast enough and to handle running backs and tight ends in the passing game. So you need to have a little bit of nasty in you to play that type of position, because that's a tough position to play.
We still haven't seen this particular player compete in a Broncos uniform, but Bradley Chubb doesn't strike me as a nasty guy.
Right. He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Like Vaughn.
He's Vaughn.
He's just like that, which, I like that, and that's fine. Go out there and get a lot of sacks, and you don't have to take cheap shots. You just need a few of those guys on defense. That's the thing. You don't need 11 of them.
Yeah.
Right, then you'll be getting a penalty every other play.
Right,
that doesn't
right.
work. So you got to have a fine. You got to have a mesh between your nasties and your good guys that are still really good players, right? Because some people, you know, they got to hold these other guys, try to keep them in line for the most part, right?
Right.
That was always my job. I was a good guy. I was keeping Brandon Marshall. Got to keep him in line.
Right.
You know,
right.
Don't pull out the glove. Got to do the right things. We can't be getting penalties, stuff like that. So coach on the field. Coach in the huddle. He's a good guy. Good teammate. News playbook inside and out. Reliable.
I wonder if Outlaw Josie Jewell could be one of those nasty players in the middle.
Yeah. You want your linebacker to be nasty.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He could be that guy. So We'll see. We'll see who these young guys, if they are that type of player or not. But you look at the Su'a Cravens, and you look at a Derek Wolfe, and you look at a Darren Stewart, and hopefully Su'a will be that guy. Three or four of those nasties, those dogs, you know, like Aqib Talib said, that's what you need. You need that on your defense.
I have a RamosLaw.com text here. Talib is actually right. Every team needs their own villain that the other teams hate, but we love him because he's our villain. And that was sort of Talib.
Yeah.
Talib was the guy that 31 other NFL teams rolled their eyes and said, you know, watch out for that guy. He's a character. He might be a little bit cheap at points.
Right.
You got to watch
out.
He's
going to rip your chain
off. We've seen him rip a chain. We've seen him drop an elbow.
He's going to grab you by the face mask and sling you around like in the Super Bowl.
He'll give you an eye poke.
You just never know what you're going to get. He's a little crazy. Be careful. He's a little crazy. Right? And the other guy that was on the offense that was like that just came to mind was Steve Smith.
Oh, my God.
Carolina. He was that type of player. You're just like.
The human tone setter.
Yeah. I mean, you just stayed away from that guy. But you, when he's on your team, you love it because that's how you win in football. You got to have a few of those.
I love it.
Who do we have on offense? Do we have any of that on offense?
A little bit with one guy in particular, and he's got to figure out to find a balance. And that's
72.
Garrett Bowles.
Bowles country. Absolutely.
I think he wants to be nasty. I think he's got intentions on being nasty. I think he's got it in him, but there's, again, you got to find the balance of, we want you nasty, but at the same time, we don't want you leading the league in penalties.
Right.
So there's got to be some sort of balance. I think he's on the right track. He certainly, I'll give it to Garrett, he certainly talks like he's a dog.
Yep.
But, you know, there was the one play that sticks out for me when Melvin Ingram came through and absolutely walloped Trevor Siemian.
Wow, that was a big hit.
It was. A face mask on face mask. And, you know, the thing about dogs
Flag thrown, right? Was there a flag thrown?
I believe there was.
Oh, there was.
I thought there was, but I could be mistaken. But the differences with dogs is dogs bite.
Yeah.
So they don't just bark, they bite.
Right. He would have cleaned up Melvin Ingram.
Or something.
After the play.
Jump on the mailman's leg. You know, I'm not telling you to rip someone's throat out. Just show me your teeth a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, sometimes the game moves fast for rookies, and it'll slow down a little bit. So we'll see what he looks like this year when it comes to things like that. But you need a few on offense also. A couple of those offensive linemen, maybe a tight end, maybe one of your running backs, Royce Freeman.
Maybe so. We've seen running backs be tone setters. Marshawn Lynch, Ezekiel Elliott, both those guys, you know, to a degree, strike a level of that intensity. Stoke, are we looking for too much this season from Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton? History may suggest that we are. And I'll tell you why next. Are we looking and asking and maybe expecting too much from Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton? You, Stoke, brought up I couldn't believe it, first of all. The phone went off on a Sunday evening. It was about, I think it was 5:44, something to that effect. And you gave Raj and I a topic for Monday show.
What'd I do?
And I said, wow.
Why'd you say wow? That's what I do all the time.
That's real commitment. You're a dog.
Yes.
You're a dog.
I am the dog of this show.
I couldn't believe it. So, but you were thinking, and I don't know what got you thinking about this.
I don't know. Just sometimes they just come in my, and I got to get it out really quick or I'll forget it. So
right.
That's why I did that.
Who did you think of when you were talking about the expectations for these two rookie receivers, Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton?
I thought about Demaryius and Decker. They were both drafted the same year. Actually, a little bit ahead of both of these guys. One in the first round, one in the third round. DT, you know, obviously first rounder. Decker, third rounder. And I just remember a lot of expectations for these guys, but their rookie season, you know, and I thought about you also because I always tell you, don't judge these guys by their rookie years and don't expect a lot from these guys. A lot was expected of, you know, DT, big, strong, physical guy. He'll go out there and make you a lot of big plays down the field, but you didn't see a whole lot of that his rookie season. But how has it turned out for both those guys? Pretty good, right?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
But their rookie year was a struggle.
DT's rookie year? Wow. 22 receptions. Demaryius Thomas's rookie year. 22 receptions, 283 yards, 2 touchdowns. Eric Decker's rookie season. 6 receptions, 106 yards, 1 touchdown. So DT and Eric Decker combined for 28 receptions.
Here comes the math.
389 yards and 3 touchdowns. Between the two of them, one of them's a borderline Hall of Famer and surefire Ring of Famer, and Eric Decker has had a tremendous career.
And they were drafted ahead of both of these guys.
Correct.
One round ahead of both of them.
Each respectively, right? DT was a first round, Cortland's a second round, Eric Decker was a third round, and Deshaun Hamilton's a fourth round.
Yeah, and we're looking at these two guys, and we're saying, man, we expect to see a big impact from Sutton and Hamilton this year. And I'm saying, that would be nice, but let's still remember, there is a need for it here. You know, who's going to be slot receiver? I mean, Deshaun Hamilton and all the rave and buzz about Cortland Sutton, big playability, going up and catching these 50-50 balls. We're going to see it. Fireworks, explosive plays, like, whoa. Because, you know, you look at DT, and DT, I mean, you talk about a physical freak, kind of like Cortland Sutton.
Right.
A guy that can get down the football field, make those 50-50 jump balls and make explosive plays. And you just didn't see a whole lot from it, from him his rookie year doing those types of things. It's hard. It's a hard transition.
And Cortland Sutton's not further ahead from a physical standpoint than DT was.
Oh, no.
I mean, Demaryius Thomas, 6'3", 230. Cortland Sutton, 6'3", 218. But even a couple years ago, DT was probably maybe even closer to, you know, I don't know, 225 or whatever. But you're right. You know, we can get caught up in the, you know, creating expectations because Cortland Sutton's a physical freak. He's
right,
a freak.
You see him making plays in practice, but, you know, and these two guys are kind of in the same situation as Decker and Demaryius, their rookie season. You got a few guys in front of you, right? And so, what is the pecking order? How many reps will they get? How many opportunities will they get? And it's just flat out hard for rookies. And now you do see guys come in and make impacts. But for the most part, it's a hard thing to do, and you don't see a lot of it. And it's for a lot of different reasons that we've talked about, but I just want to pump the brakes on both of these guys. And hopefully they come out and they both play a big role, but it's a very, very hard thing to do. I'm not counting on these guys to make a big, big impact this year.
Okay, so now that you've established that as the case, that you are not counting on Cortland Sutton or Deshaun Hamilton to impact this football team in a big way in their rookie seasons, do we have enough if these guys, say they do a carbon copy contribution that DT and Decker did? So Cortland Sutton, he puts up the identical numbers of DT's rookie year. 22 receptions, 283 yards, 2 touchdowns. First of all, would that be good enough for you? If Cortland Sutton walked in the league, 22 receptions, 283 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Hoping for more, right? Yeah.
Look at you.
I know.
After you've created this baseline, you're saying, now that I've said that, I'm actually hoping for more.
I'm hoping that we get around 400, 450 yards because I think he will get opportunities, but that's what I'm hoping for.
So although the advice is don't hope for that.
I'm hoping.
You're hoping.
I'm still hoping.
This is the Alanis Morissette. It's a great advice that you just can't take.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. I like how you worked Alanis Morissette in there.
Anytime we can.
That's right. It really is. But I'm not counting on them, but I'm hoping that you see that because you do see it throughout the league. You know, the league, every Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yep.
Was there anybody else?
OBJ.
I mean, he was a different guy. I mean, he's a freak. But you do
Jarvis
see
Jarvis Landry.
Right. You do see guys coming in and are able to adjust to the game and do it. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of expectations for these guys, and it usually doesn't work out quite like we think their rookie year. But I can sit there and hope that Cortland Sutton has, you know, 35, 40 catches for 400 to 500 yards and 5 touchdowns.
That's not unrealistic.
No, it's not unrealistic, but I think that's the expectations in Broncos country. And I'm just saying, let's not you know, all of a sudden say, man, he had an awful rookie year if he doesn't live up to those expectations that we're hoping that we see.
And especially if Deshaun Hamilton comes in and has an Eric Decker rookie year. 6 receptions, 100 yards, 1 touchdown for Decker. I'll tell you this, though. If Deshaun Hamilton comes in and has 6 receptions, 106 yards, and 1 touchdown like Eric Decker did, I'll be disappointed. I will be. That's
if he stays
personally.
Healthy for the whole year.
Right. If he played Eric Decker, his rookie year, played 14 games. 14 games. It was 100 total yards. If Deshaun Hamilton comes in here and plays 14 games and puts up 6 catches, 100
yards. I wonder
how
many offensive snaps he had. I know he played special teams. And that's the thing to really look at with Decker.
Good point.
No, it's a great point.
It is a great point.
Because you got a lot of guys in front of him. I mean, you look at that roster. I mean,
I'm going to stop my tracks. 8 targets.
Oh, for 6 catches for 8 targets. That's not bad.
No, I was going to say good ratio.
Right.
Good ratio. But no, but you're right.
He didn't get a lot of opportunities that year because you had, you know, obviously DT, the first rounder, was getting reps. You had, I think, Eddie Royal, and I don't know who else was on that roster.
But there is more opportunity here. But there's more. Isn't there more opportunity here for Deshaun Hamilton?
Yes.
Than there was for Eric Decker?
Yes, absolutely.
So let's put a bow on this. I was getting ready to go down this road. If we're supposed to lower our expectations for these guys, does this football team have enough? If we are lowering the expectations, do they have enough to get where they want to go without these contributions? I want to hear your answer when we come back. All right, Stoke, you and I were just having a organic conversation about this receiving core. You have been adamant, telling us to do not expect a lot out of Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. And the example that you laid out in the previous segment, I got to tell you, I love it. It's incredibly appropriate. And let me just reset it here in 10 seconds before I ask you my ultimate question. That you said, when it comes to Sutton and Hamilton, slow down. Because the most appropriate example for the Broncos was look back to the rookies in 2010. Demaryius Thomas was a first-round draft pick. Eric Decker was a third-round draft pick. We're looking at Sutton and Hamilton as a second-round and a fourth-round. DT's rookie year. Now, I know he came in injured and whatnot, but 22 receptions, 283 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Eric Decker, as a third-round draft pick, 6 receptions, 106 yards, 1 touchdown. So you're saying, hey, I know we love these guys. We love Courtland Sutton, and he's a physical freak. So is DT. You know, Eric Decker is a third-round draft pick. Well, Hamilton's a fourth-round draft pick.
Hamilton's a great route runner. You know, he's a really good route runner for, you know, his age, being a young player. But so was Eric Decker.
And you're saying, hey, these guys are a first and a third. We're looking at a second and a fourth, and we're expecting more from them than DT.
That's
the
feeling, right? That you get around here. You know, we've talked about it, and we're hoping that we see a breakout year from both of these guys because we need it, and we've seen them do some good things in the offseason.
Here's my question. Do we have enough if these guys can't come in and be Juju Smith-Schuster or Jarvis Landry, or one of these rookies who walks in the NFL and has immediate success? If they take the route of DT and Decker, do the Broncos have enough offensively for a quarterback that we talk about? He's got to be surrounded by playmakers.
I think they do. DT and Emmanuel, obviously, if they stay healthy. You look at, well, who does the slot receiver? Who is that guy? Look, Isaiah McKenzie has looked really good this offseason. I'm expecting to see a guy produce offensively this year for us in Isaiah McKenzie. After him, who is it? Is it going to be Carlos Henderson? Will he be able to take a step forward this year? Not sure. Will it be somebody like a River Craycraft or an under-the-radar guy that we don't talk a lot about? Tight end position. We're going to have to see more from that group. They're going to have to pick up the slack. So I look at, and I think we do have enough on this football team if it's not Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. And hopefully one of those guys does take a big step forward this year and is plays a big role on this offense. But I think especially early in the season, let's not count on these young guys too much. These other guys are going to have to pick up the pieces, and I think we do have enough in or around these rookies to pick up the pieces and not have to really rely on these guys, especially early in the season.
My gut tells me, I'll say this in response to that, because you think we have enough. My gut tells me that either Sutton or Hamilton has to be 400 yards or more just to add a different prong in, you know, or within these playmakers. DT and Emmanuel, I got it, but still with the tight end question marks, running back question marks, I think one of these guys doesn't need to be Juju, doesn't need to be OBJ, but can you be 36 receptions, 412 yards, 3 touchdowns?
And I think, and I hope that one of these guys can do that. And especially a guy like Courtland Sutton, where do what you do best. Hey, you know, we're going to play you whatever amount of plays, but half of those are going to be down the field shots to a guy like that. And he's going to be covered, and he's going to make plays on half of them. That's where he's going to get half of these stats from. That's what you're hoping.
We got major news. Oh, man, we got major breaking news in the NFL.
Major.
No deal for Le'Veon
Bell. No deal. I was wondering. We were running up.
Wow.
We have 8 minutes left.
8 minutes left till the deadline.
Mike Tomlin came out, I think yesterday, the day before, Friday, and was saying he's hopeful that it gets it done.
Optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, well, he was obviously, he doesn't play a part in it at all, right? It's the GM and it's the cap guy and it's the owner that play a big role in whether they're going to pony up and give this guy what he wants or not. So, obviously, the head coach wants it to get done.
Sure. No deal for Le'Veon Bell.
Wow.
No deal for Cowboys' DeMarcus Lawrence.
Knew that wasn't going to be it. That was never, you knew he was playing the one-year deal. The guy from the Lions is playing under the one-year deal.
Ziggy Ansah?
Yeah.
No deal for him, and no deal for LaMarcus Joyner of the Rams.
Well, you saw DeMarcus Lawrence, and he signed that deal quickly. And I think he was very content with playing under. He's making like $17 million, and it'll be a free agent next year. So you could tell by his tone early on, he was very content. Like, I'm good.
I can live with this.
I'll play another year under this tag and play a year under this tag and be a free agent next year. He realizes that if he goes out and has another good year, I mean, he's in the driver's seat. So, but Le'Veon Bell, that is a little bit surprising. I really thought they were going to get something done. I did this year. I thought that they were going to look at this situation and say, we've got to figure out a way to get it done because this is it. He's going to be a free agent next year. You can't keep going down this road anymore. And if he has a really good year, then he's going to be hitting the market as a free agent. And you don't see a lot of guys in their prime like a Le'Veon Bell on the market. So
26 years old.
Wow, that's it.
That's it. Does it seem like he's been like producing for
I would have said about
years.
28.
Yeah, me too. Me too. No deal for Le'Veon Bell. This is coming from Adam Schefter's Twitter account. Quote from Le'Veon Bell's agent, Adisa Bakari. Hope I'm saying that first name right. Mr. Bakari. How about that?
There we go.
Quote, his intention was to retire as a Steeler. But now that there is no deal, the practical reality is this is now likely will. Wow, that doesn't make sense.
This is it for him. Likely.
This now likely will Le'Veon's last season as a Steeler, end quote. So I think they forgot a word in there. Will be Le'Veon's last season as a Steeler.
We're always correcting other people's grammar.
Right. We're perfect here from noon to three. More from that. Quote, it became clear the Steelers wanted to pay the position and not the player.
And they were trying to pay him as a running back, and he wants to be paid more as a hybrid, look at how many catches I have, also as a top-tier running back. So more of a, you know, there's a special category for guys like him. You know, I'm not just a running back. I do a little bit of everything. And so they're not realizing his value. And obviously, you know, it's risky going down this road if you're in his situation. But you already made it through 1 year of doing it. You're getting paid a lot of money again this year. So you're set up pretty good. You can gamble on yourself. going down this road, even if you're in his situation where running backs, the risk of getting injured is a lot higher than, say, a Kirk Cousins. You know, he was a, look, if you want to gamble, be a quarterback and gamble on yourself. The risk is a lot less than being a running back. But at the same time, if you look at Le'Veon Bell's situation, he's going to do well for himself the last couple of years, make a lot of money, and hopefully he stays healthy and is able to hit the market. Is that somebody that if you're Broncos country that you're looking to possibly pony up for next year?
Nope. He's going to cost so much money, and the odds say that his best years are in a Steeler uniform.
What if you don't see anything from these guys this year, but all the rest of the pieces look really good? Why are you banging your head on your mic? But what, like, you know, if Royce Freeman and who he thought he was, D'Angelo Henderson and who he thought he was, and Devontae Booker is who he thought he was.
Oh,
you
my
like
goodness.
To see that? No. So you're in a bad spot. You're looking at your running back situation and say, we gambled on a lot of these young guys and we came up craps. Seven out. Worst thing to hear in craps, right? But that happens to the Broncos, and you're heading into free agency next year. But this defense looks great. Case Keenum looks like the real deal. This offensive line is like, oh, Bowles is a man-child. These young receivers, oh, Jake Butt. Like, imagine if we had a running back. Now, would you change that opinion on whether you would go after Le'Veon Bell or not?
I just don't think you can do it all. I don't think you can do it all because you're if that's the scenario.
Sure you can.
If that's the scenario, you're going to have to re-sign Case Keenum, right? You're already paying Von Miller contract.
Whoa, stop. Why are you worrying about all that? That doesn't concern yourself. Don't concern yourself with all of that other stuff. Would you make him a top priority? And I would. And a lot of things have to go that way for you, but you're talking about a guy that could possibly take you from, you know, Tom Brady's gone, right? The AFC's wide open. Pittsburgh's not the same. Blake Bortles is killing Jacksonville. I mean, it's wide open, and you need one more playmaker to get you over the top.
If it
you
was
can
like
find a
way
to get
deal?
It done.
3-year deal?
Sure, make it all guaranteed.
Yes.
3-year,
if that's
whatever.
The case, I just think he's looking for a long-term secure deal that's like a 4 or 5 year, $100 million contract. And I don't know if the Broncos can do that with.
Here you go again. You're worrying about all that other stuff. It's not your money. We'll figure out. We'll let the cap guy.
Let's go get Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's go
get Le'Veon Bell. 2019 top free agent. We're telling you right now. We're going to go out there and get Le'Veon Bell.
Hell yeah! I'll tell you what. He is justified in wanting to be paid like a unique player. Because while it's true that Le'Veon Bell carried the football 321 times this past year for 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns. Dude, let me put it like this. Le'Veon Bell is so involved in the passing game. Get ready for this. Lock in.
Uh-oh. Cam.
Le'Veon Bell would have led the Broncos in receptions this year.
Oh, wow.
Think about that.
You know what category I put guys like him under? He's not a running back. He's not a wide receiver. I put him under the category of football player. That's what he is. He's unique. Okay, he doesn't have, you know, he's not in the running back category. He's not in the receiver category. He's in the football player category. He does everything really, really well. So, you know, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you're trying to skimp on him and trying to say, well, look, we'll pay you at the top of the market for running back. For running backs? No. I'm with him. He's a unique player. And if you're in his shoes, I would gamble on myself also. We'll see how it plays out for him. I hope he stays healthy. But once again, you know, you don't want to alienate your really good players. And that's what Pittsburgh's doing here. So now he's not going to show up until when? First game of the season? Obviously,
Probably.
I think he did something like that last year. I don't remember when he showed up, but he's not coming any earlier than he did last year. So he's probably going to wait to the last possible moment. And at the same time,
he started slow, too, because of that last year.
Exactly. It's never good because if you're in his situation and you're disgruntled, you know, all of a sudden, oh, my hammy hurts. And then, you know, you miss 6 games or something. Then you come back and you have a good finish. It's just a bad deal when you're one of your best players, you're in this situation.
It's the All-Star break in baseball. The Rockies are the hottest team in the league of any team not named the Red Sox. Who's their MVP at the break? I want to discuss that, but first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?